This podcast is brought to you by Midway Fitness. Midway Motion and Fitness, located behind Midway Theaters, is a community of people who are active, accepting, caring, and motivating. Members of all ages and abilities move, exercise, heal, and build. We don't all have the same goals, but we have the same health and wellness home. Midway Motion and Fitness, locals enjoy a 7-visit free pass. Open 24 hours to members and staffed from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. weekdays and 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. on weekends. MidwayFitness.com. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon, Cheryl Crow. What's going on?
Hi, what's going on? I'm just enjoying the fact that it's almost 70 degrees in November. Wow.
Well, the word on the street is that we're supposed to be maybe getting snow tomorrow.
That's what I hear. Yeah, so break out the tissues, everyone, because we're all going to be sick.
Well, I just got done being sick.
Oh, well, look at you. You're a step ahead.
I was sick last week. I did a podcast last week. It was funny. My wife and I listened to it, and I was slowly, you could hear me like.
Oh, yes.
And then by the end of the podcast, I'm blowing my nose. I just lost it.
Yeah. So you know what? You got it out of the way, though. That's a good thing.
I'm clear, except I maybe might use a little nose spray.
Perfect.
But yeah. It's beautiful outside. Did you watch any football yesterday? Are you a football fan?
You know, I'm kind of like an armchair football fan. I'll watch. I don't really have any favorites. I'm in for the game. I'm certainly going to watch. But
well, I don't know if you saw they kept showing clips of the Green Bay game.
Yeah.
It was snowing.
Oh, of course it is.
Did you see that?
Wisconsin. Yeah.
Did you see the game? I was like, oh. And I go, that's weird that it's snowing.
Yeah.
And my wife goes, well, it is winter. And I go,
well, it's also 67 degrees right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. The weather girl this morning, as she was explaining the forecast of the week, you could just tell. I can't imagine having that job because they feel terrible whenever the weather is awful. And her face just kind of sunk when she said, we'll be expecting some rain and snow. And of course, she knows she's like letting everyone down.
Isn't that kind of deciding how we're going to think?
Yeah.
Isn't that like, aren't they pumping how we're supposed
sure.
to with the facial expressions?
That's also a lot of weight on their shoulders because what if they're wrong? Not saying they're ever wrong, but sometimes, you know.
I talked a little bit a few podcasts ago. I turned off the news and I turned off the Weather Channel.
Smart.
I don't know the weather. I have no idea.
Just wake up and look outside.
Well, and listen, if there was something bad coming, I'd hear about it, right?
You're going to know.
But
yeah.
It's very freeing. And
sure.
I saw this ad yesterday for one of our local weather people, and the guy was like basically just almost just bursting into tears on the pressure he has on his shoulders to put the weather out there. And I was like, take a chill pill, bro.
Yeah, you know, and you don't have to be the first to know.
You don't.
Because if you're going to go tell someone else, chances are they already know.
All I want to know is if we're having a tsunami.
Yeah, good to have a heads up.
Just give me a heads up on tsunamis. I can deal with everything else.
Otherwise, we're good.
Right,
yeah.
We're good.
I mean, some things you're just not gonna survive, and that's cool. But a tsunami, you got some time.
So I was telling you when you walked in, and you agreed, and I agree. You know, one of the great things about living in a town like this is that, you know, I know you,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know you.
Yeah.
You know, like if I say, hey. But I don't know you, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's small town, Facebook,
sure.
Instagram.
Yeah.
And I saw you on Instagram, we're friends on Instagram, mm-hmm. and you always got a little hustle going on.
Yeah, I try.
So I thought, you know what? This is a podcast about one small business helping another.
Awesome.
I know you from, I think it was Miss Delaware.
Yes. Yes.
Did you win?
About 1,000 years ago. Yes. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. 2003.
If I didn't tell you in 2003, congratulations. Because in 2003, you probably wouldn't give me the time of day.
Yeah, 2003 was a pretty busy year. I can't say that I've been that busy for a while, but...
you slowed it back down a little bit.
I try. Now, those that know me well know there's no slowing down. But I could say life is definitely different. Definitely.
So I knew you from then.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we're social friends, right?
And time flies.
Time flies.
And
so
it's amazing the things that can happen in 10 years, 12 years. It's amazing the things that can happen in a week. And it's so interesting to keep up with folks. And, you know, we're lucky to have social media, but, you know, there's nothing better than a conversation. You're going to find out way more than you can from looking at a picture when you actually talk to someone.
Well, that's why I sent you a message.
Yeah, and I appreciate that.
I get tired of kind of trying to impress the world.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
let's put local into social. Let's put social into local. You know, let's put that back into one another. Why? You know, even when we started this podcast and we're trying to look for sponsors, they said, well, how many people are you reaching? And I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, 200 local people. Mm-hmm. We're not shooting for Cuba. We're not shooting for Florida. We're promoting local business.
Right.
And
it's connectedness.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, so if we don't reach 1,000, 10,000 every episode, what, we shouldn't do it? Yeah. You know, we should give up? Mm-hmm. No, we shouldn't. And the thing that inspires me are people like you that are doing their little, their hustle.
Yeah.
You know, and especially when and you're going to share with what you're up to these days. But,
oh boy.
You know, it's when I started this podcast, all of a sudden you got to get into the story game on Instagram, Facebook Live, all these things.
Yeah. And, you know, folks are so hung up, just like you said, with your listeners. You know, if they want to know why you don't have 10,000, why don't you have more? And the same thing with social media. You know, we put that post out there and, you know, we know this. And there are also probably very intricate studies that show, you know, you have an expectation from that. Right. You want people to like it. You get upset when your friends don't like it, when you don't get some type of attention from it. And, you know, it's marketing at its finest. But at the same time, it also, I think, sets each and every one of us up for some type of disappointment.
Right. Well, and we're disappointed in something we don't even know what we're disappointed in.
Yeah. And, you know, it's always the case. And I've had this conversation with friends as well that, you know, we only put up our most perfect moments when we're looking at social media or even if we're having that conversation in the coffee shop, we see someone relatively quickly. You know, it's only the best because we feel like we have to stand up and compare and be, you know, be a certain way all the time. And that's a lot of pressure. And it age aside, you know, it doesn't matter if you're 16, 17 or 70, you know, that expectation can still kind of get to you.
Absolutely.
And make you feel like you're just not good enough.
Well, what I like doing about this podcast and promoting small business in Rehoboth is that usually if I'm promoting a small business, they're pretty excited about promoting their small business.
Yeah, too. Absolutely.
You know, I always say it takes a village, it takes a team, it takes a group. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're going to do this together, let's do it together. It's hard to do anything out there on your own.
It sure is. It really is. And if you think you can do it on your own, think again.
So what are you doing?
So what am I doing?
What are you doing on your own?
What am I not doing?
Well, you were in, you were Miss Delaware.
Yeah.
And then did that, I mean, I would imagine that has a lot of kind of avenues that kind of open up for you.
Yeah, it sure did. You know, and right after that kind of rounded out after the whole Miss USA and the whole year of just amazing travel and all kinds of stuff. You know, I felt like I needed to sleep and eat. And that's what I did for about a year. Eat, which
have
was fun.
Snack.
Which was wonderful. I'm not sure that I've recovered from that binge just yet, but that's okay.
Still walking that one off.
Yeah, you know, still kind of, still dealing with that, but that's good.
You look great.
Thank you. Feel great. You know, that experience definitely, I will say, afforded me a lot of opportunities, not only from a professional standpoint, but you know, personal standpoint as well. I was able to go back to school and work on my MBA, work on some creative things that I never really thought I could do.
Nice.
You know, started working in film and TV, and that's an exciting, as you know, it's an exciting world. There's always something.
I don't know.
I did a few voiceovers.
I'm guessing. I bet it's awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, it was really cool. And at that time, you know, my age, again, so like 1,000 years ago, it was really cool to just say, I'm going to take every opportunity that I possibly can and just do whatever comes my way. And, right. And that was really nice. You know, doing a couple commercials, doing a couple voiceovers. And I have lovely friends that have managed to photograph and kind of memorialize some of those things that I've done, which is pretty funny.
Do you post them on your Instagram?
Sometimes, some stock stuff comes up every now and again. Had a Lowe's campaign a long time ago, Target and some other just general stock ads that would show up every now and again. And it's kind of cool to think back, wow, that was me and that's not me anymore. And, you know, I think it's natural to think and to always think that everybody wishes they were younger. I'm so thankful for the experiences that I've had from 23 till now. But now is the most exciting time of my life.
How old are you now?
I'm old enough. You know, somewhere between.
Can't answer that,
yeah.
Cheryl.
I have made it's a secret. Point to keep that. Yeah, keep that.
Well,
to
I'm
myself.
51.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
Okay, so that's a good. So at least, but and I agree.
Yeah.
You know, and every year, honestly, it's, and we won't make, I won't make a big deal about this, but, you know, we have to give up a little bit.
Yeah.
We have to give up the fight. You know, we have these dreams. Yeah. And then we slowly just say, okay, maybe five dreams.
Yeah.
And it just seems like life smooths out a little
bit. It does. You know, and when I hit 30, I'm older than 30.
I'm doing the math. I'm wheeling it down.
Yeah, it's fine.
So we're over 30.
Figure it out. That I thought that would be devastating. You know, as a 20-something year old, I thought 30 would be just be the end of my life. And now that I'm into my 30s, and you know, moving past that, it's been amazing. You know, it's and you're right, you do have to give up some things, and you step back and you say, all right, what's really important here? Is it the running around doing all these things? You know, what does that get me, and how does that help? So when right after Miss Delaware, I moved away. I lived in Philly, I lived in New York for a little while, lived in LA, came back to Rehoboth, and like you said, being in a small town and being local, there were times it felt like I never left, which was kind of cool. And there were times where I felt like, wow, now I know why I left. But those were the opportunities for me to grow. Those were places I didn't quite feel comfortable yet,
right.
In career and in some personal areas. You know, it was nice to have some time away to reflect and then come back. And since I've been back, I feel more rooted than ever. And this community is wonderful.
It's like a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, this community is wonderful.
Cheryl's
with that.
Back to save the company.
And you know, it's wonderful that folks kind of know what you do, but they don't really know all of you. And that's why this opportunity is so great. It's because there's so many things that you don't know about folks. And
exactly.
A conversation does that. A picture on Instagram and Facebook doesn't do that.
Well, we laugh. My wife is she loves this time of year. Yeah. She loves Christmas Hallmark movies.
Oh, gosh. I can't agree.
You don't like them?
No, I just can't sit still for that.
I can't either. She loves them. And I'm always like, hi, I'm Bill. I'm here to save the company. It's always this guy,
yes.
Super handsome dude, shows up to town, saves
the
ladder company, you know, 9 employees.
Of course.
And then next thing you know, he's over there threading popcorn at her house.
Yes, yes. Or it's the romantic love story where the guy, I mean, you just know how it's going to go because, of course, he's some like bizarrely single, beautiful, wonderful looking man. It's like, come on.
Stellar specimen of a man.
Right. We all know that's not real.
Well, and I like kind of have, you know, how you said that, you know, as we get older, you know, some of these things that we thought were important, or I should speak for me because you didn't put them exactly that way, but some of the things that I thought were important, success, what I needed to do to be successful, what I thought success was, mm-hmm. I realized they're not really true.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of ego stuff.
Sure.
And
is.
As we get older, or as I have gotten older, I'm a little less worried about that. And I've kind of redefined what happiness is for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's through children, small business, helping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love helping, I like trying to help. I like making something fun that helps. I don't want to just help.
And I think that's amazing because, you know, you look at most successful people, and I don't know the statistic on this, but they give, you know, whether it's, you know, if they're in a financial position where they're lucky enough to be able to do a monetary gift or project.
Right.
But giving your time, I think when that's a true measure of success. You know, it's not all about yourself. And I think sometimes, you know, for me especially, I've stepped back and I'd say, when you feel like you got to measure up, who am I measuring up to?
Right.
Where's that bar? And who said it? You know, you have to kind of stop and answer those questions. And you're exactly right. What I thought was important in my 20s and even early 30s is not the case now. And that'll shift again as I move through life.
Yeah.
But the biggest gift of all, I think, is having that mindset of, you know, I'm in a good place. You know, you have a business. I have a business. You're doing great. And you have things that you want. Sure, you don't have everything everybody could ever want. None of us do. But you still find the time to do something that's going to help other people.
I got a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a Mercedes. You know, but that may be what I thought I needed.
Sure.
I would take a Tesla. But, you know, it's not a Mercedes and it's not a giant house.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
You know, and listen, people that have great big houses, awesome. Good job.
Yeah, great.
I wasn't, you know, I didn't go to that school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lucky I have a house at all. So,
yeah.
But, and, you know, you just kind of take a look at it. But I was listening to a podcast the other day, and I somehow always make this about me. So let's make it about you. Let's talk about you. What are you doing?
No, I enjoy the conversation.
Well,
I really do.
Thank you.
I really do. What am I doing? You know, at any given time, there's a laundry list. And, you know, when it comes to giving of time, I think I've pretty much made a career of giving my time, which is a joke amongst some of my friends that, you know, one of these days it'll all come together and I'll have a nice balance of the things I love to do and the volunteering and the advocacy and the just the helping will kind of come into play. But in my career, of course, that certainly does. So obviously I have a nice balance, but I work in real estate, which has afforded me a lot of luxuries in the sense of my time is my own.
Okay.
Which is lovely. This is a beautiful area to work in real estate. It's fantastic. Get to meet a lot of good folks.
How long have you been doing that?
It's about 12 years. About. Yeah. So it's been some time.
So you've seen some of the highs.
I've seen some of the highs.
Some of the lows.
Seen the lows, and I'm hoping we're going back to the highs. It seems to be relatively relatively good lately, you know.
I don't want to interrupt, but I'm going to interrupt. So the funny thing about real estate is that, and this is just me paying attention to seeing what I see, but I see, you know, it was probably, was it maybe 2007 when everything was like,
womp, womp.
You couldn't go wrong in real estate.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people came into real estate because you couldn't do wrong in real estate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then reality kind of sunk in.
Yes.
And I see even still people that get into real estate, they tend to just get in. It's like this, I call them like the rubber ducks. Just get into line with the rest of the real estate ducks.
Yeah.
You know, you do your time at the house, you do your time at the office, you do this.
Yeah, and it's just is what it is.
And it's almost enough freedom in there that if you're not cut out, not you, but like a guy like me, like if I don't have a little more structure, sometimes you can get a little bit lost.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I have a person that I know who's in the real estate game. And she is in a house and she's just miserable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, you need to change the game a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, and here I am. Like Matt used to always say, do you know anything? Because I could save every restaurant. He said, do you know anything about restaurants? I'd say, he goes, have you ever owned a restaurant? I go, no. He goes, then you should shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I'm like,
right. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. But this is what I think
like everybody's an expert.
Yeah. Everybody's an expert. And I am.
It's that way in real estate too. Trust me. Everybody knows everything. And
but I'm like, why don't you, you know, start using drones? Why don't you use some time lapse? You know, what can you do? Create a character. And it's almost so much what she has to do now. The idea of any more was, I think, was just a little overwhelming. But how do you stay out of that row of the rest of the ducks?
And you've got to commit and you've got to be excited about it. And it's almost like, and for me, I think it's, you know, there is some luck in the sense that, you know, I joined a great group, worked with a wonderful company for this long, and was able to take that and kind of make it my identity, image.
Do you want to share who you work
with? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've been with Jack Lingo for my entire career.
And that's that's definitely a respected name around.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I've been lucky that, you know, it's put me in a good, really good place so that I can, you know, use the reputation of the company, but also market myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you think about what makes someone successful, it's not that you get up and go to work every day. It's not that you just show up. You got to kind of do something. And it's a difficult business, especially in Sari, because like every, I don't know the statistic. It came up in a meeting a few days or weeks ago where it was like 1 in 5 people in any given building or place is a Delaware real estate agent.
Right.
And then, you know, the market shifts and things change and that's fine. But yeah, you've got to harness what you are and what makes you unique.
And that's the thing. It's a business, but it still has enough flexibility to allow you to be your own individual.
Right.
See, that's the part I look at.
And for me, you know, I'm not out to get every single client, every single listing. That's not for me.
Right.
And I think, you know, and I know that I've come across situations and working with folks there that we know we're not right for each other, whether it's me not being able to give them what they need or vice versa.
Right.
And that's fine. And that's okay. And I mean, I hope no one at my office is listening to this, but I've actually recommended other agents that may be the better suit for them than I would be, and vice versa. That's come my way.
Cooperation over competition.
Yeah, and we're not competitors. I mean, in a sense, we're competing for business, but you know, we all have different things we can give. And for me, I tend to be a little more hands-on. You know, I'm not going to be the first to like sign up to clean your house and do all this stuff, but you know, I will go the extra step if I feel that it works and we have the right relationship and I'll do that.
Well, I think that says a lot about a person that can recommend somebody even in a different mm-hmm. company.
Yeah.
You know, because it's karma.
Yeah.
And karma, you know, goes a long way.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said. And I think this is the case with a lot of the most successful, whether it's real estate agents or restaurant owners or business owners in this area, is they're not one trick ponies. They don't just do one thing. Now, of course, you can't be successful and do 80 things and think that everything's going to happen for you. Right. You just can't.
No.
But you know, and 9 times out of 10, that other thing is some type of either philanthropy or giving or doing or supporting another organization. So some of our, you know, key folks in the community, again, who are very successful, have that other aspect. And for me, for the longest time, well more than real estate, it's been animals.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
I was thinking, so there's a new girl. I have a girl, Susan, who started mm-hmm. working here. And her husband came by and brought this dog. And I got to show you a picture because mm-hmm. when he was here, I thought you would be like,
no.
Look at this guy.
I could bring puppies next time. Okay. So that is a Cane Corso Mastiff.
Yep.
Yes.
His name is Marcus.
Oh, his name is Marcus. He looks just like my Lucy that passed away about 2.5 years ago. Bless her heart. She was my first puppy dog. But
this
yes.
This dog is
136 pounds ish.
Oh, he said, her husband said that he's going to be probably around 160.
I believe it. What a doll face.
And he was here and he's a puppy and he is huge. And
I would
he was
love
kind
to
of,
just smooch all over him.
Oh,
he's
so soft.
Anytime. Yes, and, or like velvet.
Yeah, he's like velvet.
Yes.
And he kept whimpering. Color. And I said, why is he whimpering? And he's going through growing pains.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, they grow so fast. They grow incredibly fast.
Like 5 pounds a week.
Yes. It's insane.
And he was like, I go, what's the matter? And he goes, I think he's got growing pains.
Yeah. 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 So when I do a lot of rescue work. Oh, he's lovely. He's beautiful.
I'll post these pictures. I'll post some of these pictures
yes.
on our Rehoboth social.
I tend to gravitate and specialize in the larger breeds. So
yeah.
The Danes, the Mastiffs, you know, anything that's tall and big and goofy. And yeah. Yeah, that takes my heart.
Well, I am not. I love dogs. They're great. I'm just not a great dog person.
Mm-hmm.
And when the dog walked in, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
right away, I'm completely freaked out by the size
yeah.
of this dog. But
massive.
He was so sweet. And his head was like a human's.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. I have an English Mastiff now. His name's Ripley. And he is he's kind of thin for an English Mastiff, but he's tall. And he's about 120 some.
Wow.
You know, he's a good sized boy. But he's same thing. Very, very calm. Kind of just unimpressed is the word I like to use because he just doesn't really care about a whole lot except for food.
Well, and that's the thing about those. That, you know, they scare the crap out
yes.
of me.
Yes. Oh, it's
but
a great guard dog.
But then he was
dogs.
So sweet.
Yes.
I just couldn't stop it. By the time he left, I was like, oh, my God, I love you.
You just you want to have that face looking out the window in your house
boy.
When somebody walks by and they're like, oh, boy. No,
look,
no,
I
no.
did it. I did this in the 3D.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
that color is just amazing. Amazing.
I'll post these on our Instagram.
Now, not long ago, so I guess it's been almost 2 years now-ish, I worked on a case where we actually had a dog come in through the Office of Animal Welfare,
okay.
Then the SPCA, and then subsequently through one of the local rescues. And he was a Mastiff.
Hmm.
And he had been, we believe he had been tied outside, not really sure. His name's Marvin, and Marvin made the news. Marvin was a superstar and still is doing wonderfully. But he was probably, he was like 37 pounds.
Oh.
He was a full-grown, large breed dog.
So he was probably... about 130 pounds underweight.
He was very skinny. Yeah, he's not going to ever be as big as he should be.
Okay.
But he gained a decent amount of weight back. But I brought him and I fostered him for about, I think I had him for like 3 months. And that's a slow, slow process when you have a dog that's skin and bones. And he was we didn't know that he was going to make it.
Did he really make it?
He made it. Yeah,
oh.
He's adopted locally. He lives in Rehoboth.
Awesome.
He's doing really, really well. And then from that, we actually, some of the animal stuff that I work on for the state, we actually were able to, it's been a long process, and this is year two, but we're being patient, to draft a animal tethering and minimum shelter standards bill. Okay. So Marvin was kind of the catalyst for that, because this was back when we had that bomb cyclone, when the weather was super cold.
Right.
And we were getting calls left and right with dogs tied outside.
I did watch the weather then.
Outside. Yeah. Yeah.
I was watching the weather back then.
You want to know what's coming. Yeah. But, you know, it's still mind-boggling that some folks are okay doing that. And we're trying our best to, as an agency, as a group, as a volunteer group, and as a community, to deal with those things without having to make it necessarily where law enforcement steps in. Sometimes it's a matter of education, but it's gotten to the point where I think we need to move forward with the bill and, you know, make it something that gets out there so folks know that it's no longer acceptable to do this.
So the bill would be basically don't leave your dog outside.
In a short version, yeah. Okay. I mean, there's lots of little details. So basically it establishes the minimum shelter standards for having an outdoor, like having an enclosure or doghouse.
Okay.
But then it also prohibits leaving your animal outside when it's below a certain temperature, when it's snowy, when it's windy, and at all when there's an inclement weather warning. So, you know, it sounds like common sense. And,
Right. You
know, it's certainly been a learning opportunity for me, because you would think it would be very simple. And
well, we get notified from the school to make sure we put coats on our kids.
Coats on your kids.
I'm like, and then one day I sent my kid to school, and, you know, you're in the line dropping them off, and you're like, wow, it's very chilly outside.
Yeah, yeah.
You bring a coat? No? Uh-oh.
No,
I'm that guy.
Yeah. You know. But, you know, there's a case for everything, and I think 9 times out of 10, and I've been lucky to be kind of the community advocate to go out and meet some folks and talk to them about maybe there is a missing need, maybe there's some type of cultural something that's saying, oh, you know, we don't let animals inside. Or the most interesting thing for me is actually, not that I was unfamiliar before, but really getting to know the folks in the ag community that have working dogs. Because I would have never, ever, ever, ever thought that there was a true valid reason for that animal to be outside at a certain point when it's cold out. And you're looking at biosecurity issues, you're looking at you know, protecting the livestock and the poultry, and there's a lot into that.
Well, I used to have a friend that was a state trooper, and he was a canine. I don't know if you knew Jess and Matt. I don't know. But he was and he had a working dog.
Yeah.
And that dog had a kennel outside and stayed outside all the time and liked it out there.
Yeah.
I remember last winter, because we're cat people, and last winter, I mean, they're like, Mick, don't let your animals out. My cat's like, can we please go outside? We love it outside.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, we had breezeways and stuff. I mean, they weren't just out in a field, but
they
definitely, you know.
Yeah, and that's you know, I think in every instance, whether we're trying to get a stop sign or a new stoplight or whenever we're trying to lobby for something, you know, you think it's common sense, it should be quick and easy. And then you take the case by case by case and realize that sometimes, you know, what you're putting into language and what you're putting into effect has an adverse effect on someone that you never intended.
Right.
So it's a lot of, you know, my first year really lobbying for this and trying to get everyone together and putting all the pieces together was a big learning experience, and actually an exercise in like the cleanup of, oh crap, I didn't realize we were going to piss off these people, and I didn't realize this was going to happen. Oh crap.
Well, did it happen? Did the law happen?
Not yet.
Not yet.
We're back to the drawing board this next session. And it's a matter of getting everybody on the same page with the actual specific language, because again, some of it was I think a little less than what it could be upon interpretation.
Well, yeah. And I guess I think it's almost like one of those, it's like guns, you know, guns are a hot topic, but you know, you're like, well, why don't we just make this one rule for this one specific thing? And then but people are like, well, as soon as we make that rule, that means that we've made a rule that now allows us to make new rules.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I never thought about that.
And I'm certainly not one, you know, this is all a work of passion for me. This is all something I hate to say it, but I've said it in times where I've been tried and tested. When I'm working on this kind of thing, that I'm not paid to care. I care because I care, because it's in me for some reason. And trust me, if I could get some of it out so I didn't care so much all the time, I would, but I can't.
Makes sense.
You know, I'm going to do this, and I want to do it the best I can.
I'm sure there must be some laws that are in place now for animals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do have some minimum cruelty standards. And, you know, in another faculty, I do work on the federal level with the Humane Society. Mm. So I do go back and forth quite a bit from here in D.C. When things are happening and are not happening. But the PACT Act was just signed, or I'm sorry, just approved, voted on by the House and the Senate. It's a bipartisan effort to revamp original legislation that was passed in 2010. So it's a Prevent Animal Cruelty and Torture Act. Okay. That's ready to be signed at any given time by our president. And that's extra enforcement. Certain specific types of animal cruelty a federal offense or a felony. Okay. And punishable by up to 7 years in prison.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, and horse, you know, I always see, it seems like horses are always the one that get a lot of the bad rap too.
Yeah. I mean, they're expensive and they're hard to maintain. I don't have horses.
Well, I can't.
I don't want horses.
I would absolutely seem like they would be hard to maintain. I mean, that's a lot. I dated a girl once that had a horse and she's like, I need to go get some alfalfa. And I was like, oh, I'll help you. Yeah. I'll help you, babe. Oh, my God. I almost had a heart attack loading up this bales of alfalfa.
Yeah.
And then we had to put it in the barn.
Yes.
And then it has to stay dry.
Oh, gosh.
And I mean, she's like, you want to put on this long sleeve? I'm like, nah, I'm good. My arms were shredded.
Yes.
It was, I mean, I'm not coming over for horse feeding day anymore.
You know, folks that have animals, and you know, having cats, and I have dogs, and I foster everything under the sun. You know, folks that have animals care. And I think, you know, sometimes when you look at those hoarding cases or those cruelty cases, you know, a lot of times that caring takes a wonky step one way or the next. You know, they either become overly obsessed with having multiple animals and taking in as many as they can, or, you know, that caring turns into you know, something else. If there's an element of mental illness that comes in, like if a spouse or partner left or passed away, sometimes that animal becomes the object of the I don't want to
focus
say.
Of the person.
Yeah. And sometimes they take their frustrations and
they become a cat lady.
Right. They become like not the martyr, but they just become the outcome of that.
Right.
And it's really interesting. I feel like if I could take psychology and law enforcement and love of animals and wrap that up into a ball and still sell houses at the same time, that's my dream.
So is the dream. Are animals your passion?
Yeah.
And it really is. I feel like I think I've known that for a while. I mean, I don't think that's something new, right?
No, it's not something new. Yeah. You know, ironically, with Miss Delaware, I really didn't have much time to kind of foster that, which is probably one of my, I don't want to say my biggest regrets, because it's I'm not sad about it.
Right.
But I think if I had had the opportunity to have that light bulb go off a few years sooner and say, oh, wow, look, I have this platform and I'm going to use it this way, I would have done that. But now, since then, everything up to this point has given me that platform, so that I'm lucky that most folks have an inkling like, oh, I bet she does that dog thing.
Yeah.
That dog thing. Yeah, and everybody wants to do the dog thing. Trust me, no, you don't.
So
it's the reason why I work all the time.
So if someone has a problem with an animal, they should get a hold of you?
Maybe. That happens quite a bit.
Well, that's, I mean, it's that.
I get calls often.
Cheryl, I found a dog.
Yes.
Do you really?
Oh, yes, all the time. And the folks at Jack Lingo know, more often than not, if there's a lost dog in town, it comes to the office because it's somebody's bringing it to me so that we can take the proper steps and find that animal's owner. And, you know, it's keeping it safe, you know, checking tags, microchipping, checking, you know, to see if anybody knows where it belongs. And then, you know, going through the proper authorities so that it's safe and it's holding until that owner can be located. But the queen of lost dogs. And 9 times out of 10, if I'm driving, this has happened a couple times showing property where, you know, I'll pull into a community and there's a little dog running loose. And I tell the folks, hang on 1 second. There's a reason why this is happening. I don't know why, but every lost dog makes its way somewhere in my path. And that's, you know,
well,
it's
and
okay.
It seems like nowadays, like if you find a lost dog, boom, take a picture, post it on Facebook, share it. It gets shared 50 times. Next thing you know, you found the person that lost their dog.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Which is pretty sweet.
Exactly.
When I was a kid, you lost your dog and you never saw it again.
Yeah. Or you had to go around and put up posters and hang out
posters.
Yeah.
Or the dog catcher. You had to call the dog catcher.
Yeah. yeah.
I don't even think we have a dog catcher here.
We don't, no.
Why?
No, we have animal services. So they respond to loose and at large animals, cruelty complaints, pretty much anything you can imagine, noise.
Are they all volunteers?
They're not.
Okay, so they get paid.
They do.
Oh, good, because they should. Because
they should, yeah.
You know, I mean, to not have like those kind of, you know, the dog catcher or, you know, something like that, Humane Society, I guess. Mm-hmm. It seems weird because I know in my neighborhood we have a cat problem, and it's not my cats.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a guy that feeds the cats.
Are they all spayed and neutered?
I have no idea.
Yeah, we can fix that for you.
We come in, make a move.
Yeah, we can help you.
We'll net them.
No, not exactly. Now, I am not your cat person.
Net them, vet them,
say that.
Move them all.
Yeah, but you know, in this wonderful community that we have, there are those people that, you know, hey, that's what you do, and I got a guy for you, and he's great.
Do you remember the cat man?
I think so, yeah.
Remember the guy I used to walk down Route 1?
Oh, yes.
With the dolly?
Yes,
and
I
he
do.
Was really hunched over, and
I
he
do.
Would had cases of cat food.
Cat food, and he would go feed the cats, yeah.
He would feed the cats.
Yeah, gosh, that was a good, what, 7, 8 years ago, maybe? 10 years
I was going to say 20, maybe 20
maybe
years 20, ago.
Okay, I do remember him. Yeah,
remember,
that
I mean,
puts
Y2K?
Some age on me, but I remember that.
Well, remember Y2K?
I do.
It was just
yesterday.
20 years ago.
Just 20 years ago.
Isn't that weird how, like, we go through these chunks of time?
Yeah.
And then you're like, wow, I'm 20 years older.
Yeah, and time flies. It really does. It really does. And that's another reason. You can't get caught up on, you know, where you are and if you're up to everybody else and you're doing it everybody else does. It just doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter. We're all on our own pace.
Life is weird.
It's weird, but it's good.
It's great. No, yeah. Life is amazing. And what I enjoy most about it is every day that I get older, I become more open to life and it becomes better.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like when you're in your prime, you're so caught up in stuff and things.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, you don't really focus
on the next
on,
goal.
You don't,
the next goal
you don't enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
And until we start getting older, my back hurts now. I can't do as
Mine
much.
Mine too.
And I'm like, God, this is a great world.
Yeah. But, you know, you kind of just take a step back and say, you know, things are good. And you know, it's nice to be able to do that and not have, you know, for me personally, I feel incredibly lucky about this, that I've not had a major tragedy or something that's taken me back to say, oh, wow, I better stop. I better calm down. I've not had anything happen to me that's made me think that. And I feel kind of lucky that I have the mindset of someone that's like, you got this day right now.
Exactly.
You know, you can plan for tomorrow, but just worry about today and make it good.
Did you go to the Sodell Cares event this weekend?
I did. Yeah, it was fantastic. I did not have to wait outside. I got there early, which again, never happens.
Oh, was there a wait?
There was a wait outside, I think. Yeah, it was chilly.
So
but fun.
I feel like such an idiot. I reached out, you know, so we sponsor Thompson Island, or Thompson Island sponsors the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I used to go to all of them, you know, we'd go every year. And I usually got an invitation, and I didn't get one this year. So I reached out to Scott. Uh-huh. I'm like, how do I go to this Sodell event? He's like, so he sent me an invitation, a link, and he sent me a code. So he basically said, you can come for free. And you know, I donated money at the, you know, when you sign up, it says donate. So I donated money, and I told my wife, I'm like, so excited, you know, cause I took her a few years ago, we went and I'm like, I'm so excited that we're going to go to that. Cause we don't get, you know, we have children now and it's hard to really do anything. So Friday night we're at home. I made steak and we're just kicking it. And I'm looking at my Facebook. I'm like, hey, there's Chase. He's at the Sodell event. What's going I thought it was Saturday
womp,
night.
Womp, yeah.
Womp, womp.
Oh, I've totally done that. Totally
like,
done
shit.
That.
So we didn't even get to go.
Oh, it happened.
And then I text Scott. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Because, you know, he basically let me go for free.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt like an idiot.
Well, don't feel bad because it was packed. And everything I bid on, someone else bought. So I was a little about that. But I got wine and got to see a bunch of people. And really, you know, it was a really good group. And it was packed. packed.
Well, that's good.
It was packed.
Well, I said, hey, I did send some money. Not
yeah,
that it matters.
That's great.
But he wrote me back. That's he goes, I'm home. He goes, I don't feel well either. I've been, like, I literally was sick all week last week. I mean, I really, and I wasn't sick. I had a cold.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
really had a stuffed up nose. I mean, if we're going to get straight down to it, it was a stuffed up nose, right side, really.
Yeah. And that could be anything. That could be allergies. It could be anything.
Well, and as I've gotten older, or as I get older, I'm proud to tell you, I was sick all week and I didn't take any medicine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a big medicine person. I don't like to take stuff.
I used to be.
I like to just power through it.
I used to be. I mean, I would take,
about
you know,
it.
Take the cold and flu. I mean, all the stuff. And then yeah. I realized I just feel a little goofy and yeah. I still feel like shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it just makes you like kind of spacey and then you're still blowing your nose. It's like,
but isn't it funny as we get older, these weird things we've become proud of, like
oh, yeah.
our cholesterol.
Yes. 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 My blood pressure is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that.
I have great blood pressure. I have yeah. great cholesterol.
That's a good thing.
Eating well.
I'm trying. That's a try. That's a big try. It's
cool.
hard. You know, when you have fun events to go to and, you know, all and again, Sodell, are you going to turn down the delicious like beef brisket taco or the
crab
claws and like all the yummy stuff they have going around?
They had beef brisket tacos.
They had some beautiful tacos. lots of food.
I love those
scallops with, I think, I'm probably wrong about all this, but everything I ate was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything was great.
Who was the music?
Randy, is it Randy LeBlanc? I'm trying to remember
him. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the
no,
spot.
No, I think it's Randy, and I feel so terrible, but I know him, and he plays around quite a bit.
Okay.
Last time I saw him was at Rehoboth House. He did a fantastic job. I don't want to say solo act, but solo vocalist,
wow.
Guitar, and they were great. They were fantastic.
You have to.
I know there's a name.
Do you have his name? I mean,
yeah.
Like, could you, well, because
yeah.
we're starting a new, in fact, I did a podcast this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Rizek from...
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Jim?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he's now going to be doing a podcast for me called Delaware Live Music.
Very cool.
And we have a new spot, and I'll show it to you. Where I found you?
Yeah, yeah. Where I was wandering around, knocking on doors.
Yeah, wandering.
That's what I do for a living.
That's going to be our new podcast studio down
there.
That's
fantastic. That's why I went there.
So... And I'll say this, anybody out there that plays live music in Delaware that wants to come on the podcast and hang out with Jim.
I've got two names for you. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll get yeah. him because we announced it this morning. So he's got to find somebody.
Great. Okay, good.
He's on the line now.
I'll get him his first two people.
Okay. I love this town, right?
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
I like how you talked about leaving because mm-hmm. I did the same thing. I was mm-hmm. here for a while and moved over to Easton because I hated this town.
Yeah.
I had to get out of it.
Yeah.
I can't take it another day.
Yep.
And I was over there for 4 years and I couldn't wait to get back.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost kind of like, I don't want to say heart attack, but it's almost like having a medical event that all of a sudden you go, wow, I need to really appreciate what I have.
Yeah.
Or I need to
yeah.
treat what I have
and
a little better.
And we all complain about this traffic, you know, traffic. And I know it's a huge difference for us that are here full time. Like it's a big difference.
But, it's annoying.
You know, I think about that at any given time when I go back and forth to D.C., and it's like that it's like that all the time. So, you know, if the folks that are coming over from that area are like, come on, cool it, you're fine. We all have to sit in and it's okay. But it's better than the Beltway.
Well,
I'm gonna tell you that right now.
Well, and I used to actually I used to dread this time of year. I hate winter.
Yeah, it's gonna slow down.
Oh, the winter.
Yeah.
I love it winter now.
Oh my gosh, it's a chance to get to know each other.
Exactly.
It is. You run into folks, and you know, it can be as short as going to a restaurant and like, you know, stopping at the bar and you see someone you kind of know, but you're not sure. And you have a conversation. Next thing you know, it's this, you know, it's right. something, it's a good conversation.
Well, and I think when I started to find some positive about winter, I didn't dread, you know, cause I would be like, oh my God, one day less of summer. Oh God,
yeah.
one more day less of summer.
It's going to get cold.
It's going to get cold.
Yeah. And dark.
My life also changed when I bought a snowblower.
Yeah.
Because I used to have to shovel all this. I have a huge driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And I just shoveled it all by hand.
Oh, no.
And
mm-hmm.
when I got the snowblower, I'm like, oh.
I've got a friend for that. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah, Jack
is
the
awesome.
Snowblower.
Yeah.
It's Jack. He's here to save the town.
He shovels every. Yeah, see, and he does. He totally does.
It's like a Hallmark movie.
Sometimes he'll leave me a little smiley face, just, you know.
Oh.
I appreciate that.
Hallmark movie
that.
Moment.
Yes, yes. It's good.
He'll be over next week.
Friends are good.
To string popcorn.
Yeah.
And drink spiked eggnog.
Yes, yes, in a nice fluffy sweater.
But the fun thing about this town is that we do live in a small town, and mm-hmm. you know, we can see, you know, we can, like, I can do this podcast with you, then I can run into you at Wawa, and then I can see you out to dinner, you know?
Yeah.
And where, like, where I grew up in Albuquerque, you know, you might not, I may see you and never see you again.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know, definitely not twice.
And it's like that. Yeah. I feel like that's like that in DC, you know, and even just, you know, anywhere, even going down, not that I go to Ocean City that much, but every now and again, you know, you're not going to come across the same people like you do here. And it's really, it's cool.
Well, and you get to build a lot of different relationships that end up helping, you know, when you're doing a small business.
Right. And you don't have to have a bazillion friends. You know, there are casual relationships that you have, that you know somebody, and, you know, you may not talk to them all the time. You might not talk to them, but once a year, if you run into them in the grocery store, but you know them. So if for some reason someone needs something, or, hey, do you know anybody that has this or does this, you know, boom, then you can kind of think of that person. And then, wow, there's next thing you know, you have a relationship with somebody that you can, you know, you can grow. So it's really cool.
Where do you see this town growing into? I mean, we're building a lot of houses,
selling a lot of houses. Yeah. And it's a little bit of a different perspective, of course, in the business I'm in, because of course I want to sell everything,
right? And we don't go negative, but it's still like, where do we do, how many are we still building? I mean, how big are we going to be?
I think, like everything, it definitely, like, rounds itself out. And I will say, just from my personal observation, that I think a lot of those communities that are coming up that are brand new construction, like, they're, you know, there's a demand for it, or else they wouldn't be building it.
Right.
They're going to sell. That's fine. Right. I think that's leveling off, because you don't see those massive tracts of land selling out to single family homes. Now it's a little bit more commercial. Like, it's now taking a step back and looking at the infrastructure. So I know we're fighting a 7-Eleven out off 24, but, you know, that's what, not necessarily just a 7-Eleven, but that's what I think the next step is.
Oh, is the 7-Eleven coming out on 24?
Yeah.
Where?
It's corner of Angola and 24. But I don't know. It's still up for
secret
vote. I think there's.
Well, why not? Why not have a 7-Eleven?
I think there's issues that are valid. You know, effect on water quality, just overall traffic through that corridor. There's a couple. I mean, you got to kind of look at it from a big perspective. But with that being said, I think that, you know, we're looking at, we're going to see more grocery stores. We're already seeing more restaurants come. You know, we're seeing old restaurants leave, new restaurants come. We're seeing some of the older strip malls and shopping centers become nice new multi-use, you know, new services, lots of medical services that still we need in this area. So I think, like everything, it's just a transition.
Yeah.
So we have some folks that have lived here for a very long time that are choosing to leave. And we also have some folks that have lived here for a truly long time that are upsizing, downsizing.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And new people coming in. So, you know, it's just constant morphing of.
I've shared this before, but, you know, the salon is located in a place that was probably a bunch of people stood up and said, we don't want this place built.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were all living in a place that a bunch of people had stood up and said, we don't want this place built.
Exactly.
And then they build it.
Yep.
And then they fill it.
Yep.
And then those people all of a sudden becomes right advocates or something, you know, like, no more building. This was the last development.
Yeah.
I get a little like, oh, God.
And I get it. I totally get it. You know, you have your little piece and you want to preserve it. Like, that's cool.
Well, I get it. But there's, you know, when I say, where do you shop? And they say Rehoboth. I say, well, we're full.
Mm-hmm.
We can't take any more shoppers. I mean, why not build a giant right here at the end of Cave Neck Road? Why not? Have
well,
a
that's
nice
been
place.
Under, that's been under, I think, discussion for quite some time.
Well, and of course, why does it have to be the next Christiana? You know, is that true? Is that kind of some propaganda, like trying to create some hate or fear?
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine a Christiana being built there. Why would anybody even be behind that, right?
No.
And I just read this morning or yesterday that I think they're closing Kmart.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
Yeah.
Remember when Kmart showed up?
Yeah.
It was the coming of the Lord, right?
Yeah,
it was it was going to save the town.
Yeah, and I didn't mind going in there, but then I feel bad saying this, but they did some type of like not even
downsize.
Remodel. Yeah, like a scale back.
They cut it in half.
Oh, it just tore that apart.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like that store was over once that happened, and it was kind of a mess in there. It's like going into your grandparents' basement or attic, like looking around for stuff, and it's all over the place, and there's no rhyme or reason. It's just a bunch of stuff on shelves.
Well, I do like there's another place they built there. So we bought a chinchilla.
Oh.
My daughter wanted a chinchilla.
Oh.
So we got her a chinchilla from PetSmart.
Yeah.
And then we, I like it all. And that, is that what it is?
Yeah.
And they got some cool stuff in there, I suppose. Stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's kitschy, but you know what? It is what it is. It's kind of like a world market if you think about it. Like you kind of go in and there's all kinds of stuff everywhere. There's like every aisle is like kind of different.
Right.
So you make your way around. Or like, yeah, like a Bed Bath & Beyond kind of.
Yeah,
but
of junk.
Yeah, of junk. Yeah. Like beyond that. But yeah, it's pretty good.
Like bathroom decks, fifth bathroom decorations.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what comes in there. And I have heard that Ruby Tuesday space, that something new is coming there relatively soon. I don't know what.
I'm assuming a restaurant.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. But maybe a
not chicken and not wings, because it's in between Chick-fil-A and Buffalo Wild Wings. So I would have to imagine it's got to be something different.
That was weird how they just left, right?
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
And TGI Fridays did the same thing.
Yeah, and those are two big names. I mean, I grew up on them.
They closed down. They just shut these down.
Yeah.
We're in a. Are you into nutrition? Or I mean,
try to be.
Try to eat right.
Try to.
Well, I think those restaurants were really about the bar and apps.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I feel
And you're right. I mean, there's only so many mozzarella sticks you can eat.
And nachos.
And nachos.
And
buffalo
big
wings.
Blue drinks.
Yeah. And you know, the nice thing about this area, again, is that folks are coming here so they can see local, they can do local, they can be local.
Right.
And, you know, they can get the Ruby Tuesdays and the Fridays and the Red Lobster and all the, you know, the big brands like that anywhere. And they want to come here and get the taste of local. And even if that taste of local has, you know, four other restaurants, it's still different to them.
Right.
So I think that's what's nice about.
Well, the with area. Kids, I have three kids and we can't afford to go out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot.
And it's weird. My wife and I made this decision. We're not eating out anymore with the family, because we go out to eat out just so we could do it, but then we buy the cheapest junk.
Yeah.
These nuggets and, you know, junk, just so that we can all eat out.
And it's probably still $100.
Yeah, and I'm like,
yeah,
I can make a better dinner than this.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that sometimes too, because I'm big into wine and, you know.
Drinking it or looking at it?
All of it.
Oh, gosh. Oh, boy.
But, you know, that makes a big difference when you go out. And, you know, I'm not going to go out and have a nice dinner and not have a nice glass of wine. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, at the end of the day, you're like, oh, wow, okay.
So you just go out and have a nice glass of wine and skip dinner. I can't afford the dinner. We're going
to
have the wine.
I wish I could get myself to think that way, but no.
That's why I just quit drinking, because that's what I did.
One of the many reasons I work as much as I do. That's okay. It's all good.
I love having you on. Yeah, I appreciate it. I know you got a schedule, so I don't want to hold you back. But
awesome.
Like I said, when you came in, I could start the podcast off. I know you, but I don't know you.
Yeah.
And now I do know you.
That's awesome.
And I appreciate it. And
I do too. Thank you.
Always know that if you want to, if there's something coming up, an event, something that has to do with the animals.
Cool.
You want to share it, put it out on the podcast.
Awesome.
You know, the door is always open for you.
Thank you. Right. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
All right, Cheryl. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Have a great day, dear.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.